Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
John Davis and Orlando Franklin sitting in for Stokely and Zach today. As Orlando sits down, big O. It went down yesterday. Emmanuel Sanders and D-Mac.
Yeah, much anticipated.
Much anticipated.
It was the fight of the century.
Fight of the century. Bigger than
promo today. It was exciting, man. I was at home. I had set my alarm on my phone yesterday that no matter what I was doing for 5 o'clock, I put the heavyweight fight of the year in my phone, and literally I had a 5-minute alert set before, because you know sometimes when you put stuff on your calendar, you might not get the alert. So I made sure I put a 5-minute alert before so I could get to a radio or get on the app and make sure that I was tuning in.
Now, I stayed. I got front row seat. I wanted to see that live and in person, tell my grandkids about it. That's what I wanted to do. But, and we were texting throughout, kind of the reactions. You're in a unique position, though, because you've actually worked with both of them, Emmanuel Sanders and D-Mac. You don't just know both the guys. You've been colleagues with both the guys. So
that's true.
Did it go the way you thought it would?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think both individuals handled themselves really well. Mm-hmm. You could tell that there was heated moments on both sides, but I think they both handled themselves extremely well. You know, nothing makes me more happier as a former player in this league than when two media guys could sit down and they could literally hash out their differences. Mm-hmm. And not only am I in a unique situation, I've actually been through the exact situation.
Have you?
Yeah.
With who?
So when I played here in 2000, and it's another one of my colleagues as well.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
And when I played here in 2014, we played against the, back then, the St. Louis Rams.
Right.
Now, the Los Angeles Rams. And we had a bad game. You know, I think we ran the ball
seven times.
I think it was nine that game, actually.
It was just throwing the ball.
Yeah,
constantly.
We threw the ball a ton, and literally we lost a game that nobody thought that we should have lost. Ironically, you know, Emmanuel actually suffered a concussion in that game.
Yep. He tweeted earlier today in that highlight, actually.
Yeah. So after the game, there was a guy who is now my colleague, works here at the station, and Mark Slareth, that went on NFL Network, and he had some words for me. And literally, I mean, I took not words to me directly, he had some words for the offensive line.
Yeah, he was critical of the whole line.
Yeah, we didn't get it done in our blocking schemes. We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. And then there was a couple plays that he sort of analyzed and
Peyton took a lot of hits that game.
Yeah, it was on turf, and I mean that's no excuse, but
sure.
Ended up taking a lot of hits, and literally that happened in 2014.
Right.
I've never saw Mark Schlereth. I never tweeted back at him. I know it pissed me off that the comments were made. It pissed the whole offensive line off that the comments were made. Literally, if you know anything about the Broncos' offensive line, we're a unit that traditionally we don't speak to the media.
Code of the streets.
Yeah, when this report came out and basically we were getting bashed on TV about it, we all spoke to the media that day. We addressed the media and we were like, hey, listen, at the end of the day, yes, we need to be able to protect Peyton Manning. We will take that hit. But as far as the run game not working, well, the run game's not going to work when you only go into a game and you run the ball nine times. You know, for offensive linemen, you need to get in a rhythm. You need to get into a flow of things in order for things to be firing on all cylinders. So we all spoke about it, and literally the next game, we played against the Miami Dolphins. It was here, and we absolutely just dismantled that defense. We ran the ball efficiently. We threw the ball up and down the field, and we just absolutely dominated them. And the rest was history. But like some people, professional athletes, you're going to hold a grudge, and you don't think that the comments were the right comments being said. And literally, you know, I like I said, I never met Mark Schlereth. I never met Steak. Mm-hmm. Like, never sat down and had a conversation with him. And last year when I got a job here and I started doing some fill-in work, we actually had a conversation for the first time.
Right.
And then, you know, we didn't talk about that. That whole situation. Okay. But a couple months went on, and then we actually sat down and had about a 25-minute conversation about what he said in 2014 and exactly my feelings towards it and how I felt then and where I'm at now. But he was able to also explain a lot. So I got a lot from it, because one good thing is that Mark told me was, hey, he views the Broncos as – like he views his kids. He's going to coach them hard. He's going to be very critical because he's been a part of this organization for so long.
Like harder on them than he would be.
Than he would be right. On anybody else. So when he told me that, you know, as a guy that had played in this league and was a part of that team, you know, it made sense. I was able to understand his thought process and why he said the things that he said. And then I explained to him, you know, well, you played the position in order to get a groove and get a good feel of running the ball and be able to be successful out there. You got to be consistent and you got to have more attempts than 9 attempts in a game. So he got to see my perspective. I got to see his perspective and his point of view. And we were both able to just leave that conversation better off. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened yesterday with Emmanuel Sanders and D-Mac.
Right.
They both got a chance to sit down, both explain their sides and their perspectives, and now they're better for it. You saw the picture of them. They're all smiles.
They're hugging.
Towards the end of the broadcast yesterday, they're having a great conversation. They're laughing. It's back and forth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, you could tell immediately when Emmanuel sat down, I mean, he was still mad about the situation. And immediately, you know, there could have been that confrontation there. But after all, they're just sitting there and taking that hour to get to know each other and get to know where each other were coming from. They left this station with a better perspective of each other.
Mm.
And I love that. Anytime a guy or anytime a former player or a coach could sit down and address the media or address somebody that they think is talking about them or literally always pointing the finger on them, it's a great thing. Anytime they could get in the same room, hash it out, have a civilized conversation, and both understand a little bit more from each other. After the interview, I tweeted at Emmanuel about it, and I thought he handled himself really well, and I thought D-Mac did as well. And, you know, it was good radio. It was fantastic radio. Both of those guys,
awesome.
You know, after 3 years, you know, the back and forth, they were finally able to come in together and hash it out.
And like you said with Schlereth, it probably felt good to get that off your shoulders, too. Like, negativity, walking around with negativity is never good.
Yeah.
And I don't think, and they didn't get nasty yesterday, too. That was really good. There was no name calling. It was really good.
It wasn't negativity on my behalf. I was actually pissed, like, for the better half of the year. But until, like, I really had a conversation with him and got exactly what he was saying, you know, like, hey, I view the Broncos as my kid, like as my kids, because I've been a part of this organization forever. You know, I'm going to be more critical of the Broncos than anybody else. I never thought of it in that aspect. Mm-hmm. Immediately when he said what he said, I was just like, man, he's wrong. I went on defense. Everybody, the whole offensive line, we went on defense. We were like, man, no, that's bull. You know what I mean? We're not trying to hear that. But until you sit down with a person and really understand where they're coming from, you just leave it up to assumption and assume that it could be deadly and just definitely wrong.
I'd like to see you and Mark get out on the field and block each other. That's how I would have preferred to see that settled, is you two just out on the field for an hour blocking each other.
Yeah.
Okay, do bench press competition. Let's make it happen.
Yeah.
Okay, Schlereth, bench press competition with Orlando Franklin. That's what I want. Orlando, there is a player you love so much that I want to know if this guy or anybody else is worth moving up for in the draft. That's next. Earlier this morning, our guys, Cecil and Pritchard, they were talking about players that the Broncos could or should move up for.
But you're not going to move up, and the Drew Lock thing is the Raiders thing, which we've talked about. The Raiders are in almost constant contact with Drew Lock. So take that for whatever it's worth. The Raiders, and John Gruden specifically, really like Drew Lock. So is he even going to be there at 10? And are you going to move up for either one of these guys? The answer is no. You're not going to do that. You shouldn't do that. You should sit at 10. If you're going to move up for anyone, move up for Devin White.
That's our guy, Cecil Lammy, talking about Drew Lock had his pro day yesterday, and Cecil dropping some knowledge. Listen to him when he talks about Drew Lock and possibly the Raiders being in on him. So if the Broncos liked Drew Lock, they'd have to move up for him. I don't think they should do that at all.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so yeah,
I 100% agree. Let's just look at the big picture for a second, John. If the Broncos like Drew Lock, right? Why would we then have traded away Case Keenum, and now we're eating $7 million in dead money, and then traded for Joe Flacco to bring him in? It just makes no sense.
No, it doesn't.
You went and saw him at the Senior Bowl. If you liked him, we would have a fourth-round pick in this year's draft. We would have another pick right now if we liked Drew Lock.
Because we wouldn't have got Joe Flacco.
Exactly.
Cecil kind of touched on what you've been touching on for a while today, which was John Elway was up in the booth at the Senior Bowl. They got to see. Now, they are going to meet with Drew Lock. But that could be whatever.
It's a smokescreen, man.
It's a smokescreen.
Did you hear Purchase drop the mic today?
Oh, of course. I hear it every day.
Man, I loved it. I mean, I love where he's coming from. Hey, you tell people, hey, look here. You know what I mean? This is what we might do. We're bringing in Drew Lock. We're going to bring in Dwayne Haskins. We're going to do our evaluation process. We're going to properly vet these quarterbacks because we're really looking for the quarterback of the future. And then my team now... Broncos get on the line and a Drew Lock or a Dwayne Haskins drops to 10, and now you say you're the Dolphins, say you're the Redskins, that's probably looking for a long-term fix because, yeah, you got Case this year, but you're looking for at least another 3 or 4 year fix, and you don't know if Case is going to be that guy. Now you go and call the Broncos because you know, and perception wise, I mean, you think that they're going to take either Drew Lock or Dwayne Haskins because they've been bringing them in. So now you get on the phone with the Broncos and, hey, we'll swap you your first-round picks and we'll give you next year's first-round pick.
I want that so bad.
Oh, man, that would be the best for the Broncos.
It's the best-case scenario.
So that, for me now, you know, the Broncos are just going about it the right way. And John Elway, I mean, you could hate him for the 2017 draft class?
If anybody hates John Elway, shame on them. Oh, no. But yes, 2017 draft class was a nightmare.
You could hate him for that, yeah. But like our man Zach said this past week on the drive, I mean, arguably, since last year when the Broncos had the draft to this year where we're at right now with the draft class that he brought in. The firing of VJ, the bringing in Vic Fangio, the assembling that head coach, the people that the assembling that coaching staff, the people that we brought in so far this year in free agency. It could, when you look back at it in a year or two, you could be like, man, he actually really did get it right. Mm-hmm. And now this is just another move that you're making the right moves. You got all the opportunity to bring in these different guys in to Dove Valley and show teams that, hey, you know what? We're really high on these. But if you could get a team now to get desperate and really fall in love with a Dwayne Haskins or a Drew Lock and want to trade with you and give you another first round pick in next year's draft, now you're just really winning. I mean, that would just be another check mark. Okay. Keep going, John, and keep going. Like, so I love the fact that the Broncos are doing that because now, you know, teams are going to look at it and say, hey, you know what? If we're really high on Dwayne Haskins, if we're really high on Drew Lock and they're there at 9, you know, the Broncos are going to take them. So we got to get the Broncos on the phone and give them whatever we need to give them in order to get to that 10th overall pick to pick our guy.
To get our guy. Wouldn't it be great, because Cecil said in there, if the Raiders take Drew Lock at 4, because that's just going to bump a really quality player at another position back to 10. So Cecil talked about it.
You think the Raiders are looking at him at 4? You know the Raiders
have 9 first-round picks this year?
They got 3, so I mean, do you
that's
really
true.
Think that it's
they don't
it's
have to take
4?
Him at 4. He's going to slide. That's right. Oh, the Raiders in there.
I mean, because you know, look at it like this. Okay.
Maybe it won't be 4. They can afford to take him at 4, though, because they've got 2 other picks.
Yeah, but I mean, this is how I look at it. Dwayne Haskins was supposed to be the best quarterback in this draft, the most complete. Well, we know Arizona's really high on Kyler Murray, so there's a high probability that he might go 1 overall. So now Dwayne Haskins was linked to the Giants. Well, now, if you don't go to the Giants, that means that you're going past 10, or 10 or past 10. So that would be the first quarterback. Then who really – if the Miami Dolphins get Dwayne Haskins – I mean, Washington could easily say, no, we're not going to draft a first-round quarterback because we owe Alex Smith all this money and we're banking on him coming back.
And they have Case Keenum.
We just gave him a contract next year. And on top of that, we just traded for Case Keenum. So He could, a guy like Drew Lock could easily pass into the high teens now. And now the Raiders already got the capital. If they need to move up in the high teens, or are they just going to wait till the late 20s to go get a guy like that?
I hope they do. They have a quarterback already, and they're going to create an unnecessary quarterback competition. Orlando, every time I talk to you, the first thing you always say, it's just Devin White. This is your favorite person, I think, on the planet right now. You are such a fan of him. You have a jersey of him. I've seen you wear it. It's amazing. Should they trade up?
You really think I got a Devin White jersey?
Yeah, I've seen you wear it. Should they trade up to get him?
You know, LSU and Miami played in the opener this year.
I know, you wore a Devin White jersey.
I wore a Miami Hurricane jersey, and we lost. So I definitely do not have a Devin White jersey. But the kid is a spectacular football player. And, you know, he could shore up that inside linebacker position for the Denver Broncos for years to come. He's a three-down linebacker. He's always going to be on the field. But there's also a guy in that draft class in Devin Bush that I'll though didn't run as fast as Devin White, has the same instance as Devin White. So I would be happy with a Devin Bush. I think it's going to cost you a little bit too much to trade up. I mean, because you got
Tampa Bay
sitting there at five. So it's going to cost you a little bit too much, because how it's looking right now in Tampa is looking that they might take Devin White with that fifth overall pick. So now the Broncos would have to call the Oakland Raiders to trade up. I mean, you know, let's not do that. Let's move ahead.
10-4 would be a lot.
Yeah, let's not do that. So I think Devin Bush will be just as good as his player for the Broncos, and I don't think that you need to trade away the draft capital or trade away these players that you have on this roster in order to move up in a top five position to get a guy like Devin White.
And could still fill the same position,
yes,
the same need. Okay, Orlando, you said something on Tuesday that I didn't agree with. I'm going to press you on it, and I'm going to make you prove to me that you're right, because I think what you said was ridiculous. That's next. John Davis and Orlando Franklin filling in today for Stokely and Zach. Orlando, we got, it looks like, Iowa and Cincinnati. Just, how's your bracket doing? You still missing on all of them?
How's your bracket doing?
Good. I've got them all. I'm doing great. Doing wonderful. Purdue won. That's kind of who I'm following. So that's Purdue, all I really cared about.
Where is your bracket?
My bracket's at home. I want to be honest with you. I don't put a lot of thought into it. I couldn't tell you right now who I don't.
Can you take a picture of your bracket and send it to me?
Yeah, I'll send it to you later today.
Okay. Yeah. And don't just go and fill out a new bracket.
No, I'm not going to do that.
And then all of a sudden, you got every game right yesterday.
No. Unlike you, see, I didn't bring in a ringer like you did to do your bracket.
I've lost three games.
That's because you had somebody help you. You didn't believe in yourself. That's an awful message to send to the youth.
It was my first time playing. I mean, and I didn't trust myself, so, because I've never done it before, so... I've only lost three. I lost the Belmont, Maryland. You know, I took Belmont.
And Belmont should have won.
The Louisville, Minnesota. And then I lost the Syracuse, Baylor.
You mean the guy that picked your bracket for you?
It was those. It was a team effort. You know, it was agreed upon that I would buy you lunch and you would guide me in a direction that you saw fit, you know, of who you saw
make
winning.
Suggestions.
And right now, you know, I had to text him this morning. I said, listen, I've already lost three. If I lose another three today, you know, you're going to have to take me to lunch, because this ain't going to work for me. So,
wow. So you don't believe in yourself, so you bring somebody in, and then if it doesn't work, you make him give you gifts. So that's good.
I'm quick to, you know how they say when you point one finger, four is pointing back at you? I never believed in the four pointing back at me. I was always
just pointing the one that was pointing in
the direction that I was trying to go into.
That's good. Okay, so we got Orlando Franklin out here letting somebody else do all the work for him on his bracket. But hey, I hope you win, Orlando. I hope you and the guy that actually did it.
I want to ask you a question. What do you think really happened? You think that he came in and, like, literally just filled out my bracket and it was like, here you go?
Yeah.
Well, that's not what happened.
That's okay.
I filled out my bracket and then I asked questions on certain games. Well, what do you think here? And then I'd fill out, like, three more games that I thought. And then, what do you think about this? It wasn't, no, every game. It wasn't every round like you're thinking.
Okay, so he would be like, did you turn down any of his suggestions on your bracket?
Yes, I actually did.
Really? Can I have an example?
Because I want to prove you wrong, right now. I'm going to prove you wrong.
Okay, bracketologist. I'm going to count down from five. If you don't have it, we're moving on. Five.
He told me to take Seton Hall.
Oh, and you didn't?
Yeah, I didn't.
Who'd you take over Seton Hall?
I took Belmont.
Riveting.
Yeah.
But Belmont lost. Oh, but that's who you would have. Okay, I got you.
Okay.
Clearly,
you don't have a bracket at home. You do not have a bracket.
I'll send you my bracket later today. I don't pay any attention to any of it. I think I have Tennessee winning just to be different and cool. But anyways, Big O. The other day, when speaking about Vic Fangio and his performance in his first year as the Denver Broncos head coach, you said something, and I'm going to replay it for you so you can hear what you said.
If Vic Fangio doesn't go out there this year and win at least 8 games, because we can't handle having another losing season. I mean, I don't know what will happen in the city if that happens.
No kidding.
Yeah, because so if we can't turn it around with the moves that we have made and be at least 8-8, Vic Fangio won't be here past this year.
Wow. If Vic Fangio
I stand by
doesn't
my comments.
Go 8, so if he goes 7-9, he's fired.
Yes.
He takes over a 6-10 team. He takes over a team that went 5-11 and then 6-10. He improves them by a game, and he's going to get fired.
Well, why isn't Vance Joseph here then?
Vance Joseph took over a 9-7 team and went 5-11.
And then he took over a 9-7 team, and then we had to figure out the whole quarterback situation. He wasn't given the opportunity to bring in the coaches that he wants to.
The first time
that he was given the opportunity to bring in the coaches that he wanted to and go get a quarterback that he had some kind of input and some kind of say in going to get, he improved the team by 1 point. By one game. So, I mean, to your... What you're saying is true.
That's different.
Vic Fangio does it. He should be here for another year, I guess.
No, because...
No, it's not going to happen.
This is
why it's not going to happen, John. It's because this is the Denver Broncos. We've already had 2 back-to-back losing seasons. First of all, last year, you remember what happened in Arizona with Stephen Wilkes?
Yeah,
they canned him.
Right.
So why now can we not can Vic Fangio after 1 year? If it's not a winning season, if it's not at least a 500 season, why can't we?
I'm talking if he goes 1-15, he's probably fired. If he goes 2-14, he's probably fired. 7-9 though, they're not going to fire him if he goes 7-9.
The way with how they have built this roster, with going to get Joe Flacco, with getting paying. Now you have the highest paid right tackle in the league. And then you go get Juwan James. And then you go get Kareem Jackson. And then you go get a Vic Fangio guy and Bryce Callahan. It's a win now mentality. 7-9 is not going to cut it. 7-9 is going to say, hey, you know what? It was fun. You know what? We hope that you enjoyed your 1 year vacation in Denver, Colorado, but you need to pack your stuff and go about your business.
Because you improved our awful football team by 1 game.
Vance Joseph should be here then too.
No, he shouldn't. And here's why it's different. The team was 9-7 when Vance Joseph took over. They were 9-7 and they went 5-11 and it looked brutal.
Okay.
It was awful the way it looked. The team was worse. Hate it or love it. You could say whatever you want. That's what happened. And then the next year, the team didn't look like they were in any position to get better.
This team was 9-7. And then after they went 9-7, they went 5-11.
And they were lucky to be 5-11.
Under Vance Joseph's first year, right?
Right. They got worse.
What are the big takeaways under Vance Joseph's first year? What happened? All of a sudden now you have a quarterback controversy. You're playing 3 quarterbacks in Vance Joseph's first year. On top of that, Vance Joseph is not allowed to retain the guys that he wants to as head coaches. He is given a coaching staff. He walks in. He doesn't know if these guys believe in his philosophy or anything. So
they were good
now
coaches.
You get Mike McCoy. You have an offensive coordinator that gets fired in the middle of the season, right? So you got all these different things that are going on in Vance Joseph's first year that he's not in control of.
The head coach.
He didn't have control or say so over who they brought in as his assistant coaches.
I'll give you a pass.
He was given his assistant coaches.
And because of these reasons.
He walked in and said, okay, here you go. Here's your assistant coaches. He wasn't given an opportunity to say, hey, let's go after this quarterback in free agency. No, he was given 3 quarterbacks. Here you go, Paxton Lynch. Here you go, Trevor Siemian. Here you go, Brock Osweiler. Hold on, John.
Keep going. You're fine.
Yeah, hold on a second. Relax, because you're ready to. Yeah, you got this look in your eye like you're ready to come across the table.
Look, just get ready for your L.
I'm not going to get ready for my L at all, because now, after the 2017 season, he was finally able to bring in some coaches that he wanted and recruit some guys. And now, all of a sudden, now he has a say-so in the quarterback that is brought in. Just like Vic Fangio had this year. Came in, mm-hmm. was able to bring in the coaches that he wanted, was able to have some say-so in the guys that we're going after. We saw that with Joe Flacco. We saw that with Juwan James. We saw that with, we definitely know that's true with Bryce Callahan, because the Broncos are not going after Bryce Callahan unless Vic Fangio says, yeah, we could win with them. I like him. He's my type of player. Mm-hmm. Even Kareem Jackson, mm-hmm. the exact same thing with the 70 tackles that he had last year. Tackling is not negotiable. I want Kareem Jackson. Yeah, he's 31. Let's give him $11 million a year anyways. So we saw that with Vic Fangio this year. So Vic Fangio is in the same situation that Vance Joseph
was
last year.
No, he's not. He's totally not.
Because you got, okay, whatever you say, but they both got to evaluate their coaches, hire the guys on that they wanted to, and go after the free agents that they wanted to. This year they got to do that. Vance Joseph did not get to do that in his first year in the league. And guess what? He did. He improved the team by one. So I can't look at the first season because he had no control.
Really? We can't grade a guy 5-11.
He had no control. The time that he did have control. You think that I'm arguing with you I think that Vance Joseph should be here or something? No. Do I think he was ready to be a coach? No, but he improved the team by one. To your argument, you're saying if Vic Fangio comes in here right now and improves this team's record by one, and the Broncos go 7-9, that he's going to be here still. No, he's not. He's just not. Because if that was the case, Vance Joseph improved them. So I guess we're going in the right direction. So Vance Joseph should have been here as well.
So you're looking at different scenarios. A couple things. Okay. You want to point. I'm going to give you a pass on the assistant coaches for Joe Woods, because letting Wade Phillips walk for Joe Woods was absolutely ridiculous. A couple things. Gary Kubiak, who was his coaches? Who was his quarterbacks when they went 9-7?
When Gary Kubiak went 9-7, who was his quarterback? It was Trevor Siemian. Who else did he have?
Number one, first round pick, Paxton Lynch.
Okay.
He actually won a game with Paxton Lynch starting a quarterback.
Okay.
Kubiak did. So the quarterback situation.
When Gary Kubiak won the Super Bowl, that doesn't make sense what you're going to say, because when you win a Super Bowl, there's turnover, right? So when Gary Kubiak won the Super Bowl, the year after, a lot of those players were still here. Then the other year after
that. Yeah, but Peyton Manning wasn't.
It's the same exact. Did you have every wide receiver?
Okay, so
did you have every wide receiver but Owen Daniels?
Did the quarterback situations?
After Peyton Manning came in here, and they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
in the
Owen Daniels. Owen Daniels
season, Owen Daniels?
Okay. Owen Daniels isn't a wide receiver. He's a tight end.
Did you have every wide receiver and tight end?
No, but they still had Demaryius Thomas. They still had Emmanuel Sanders. They still had those guys. Okay. They improved they got Russell Okung playing left tackle.
Listen, man, this is Bronco country. We can't handle another losing season.
So
we already had back-to-back losing
seasons. Here's the point.
Since the early 70s.
Yes, we know.
If we have another losing season, he's out of here.
Welcome so here's the point. For all those reasons, it's John Davis and Orlando Franklin. Orlando wants Vance Joseph to still be the coach. No, he doesn't. But it's Orlando, for all those reasons you gave, the assistant coaches, all of that, that's why Vance got a second season. That's why he got his second season. And they went 6-10. Oh. And you saw the way it looked late in that season.
Let me ask you a question.
That Monday Night Raiders game.
You're a big Bronco junkie, right? Super fan, right?
Yeah.
What was the first year that John Elway was involved with this organization?
1983. You mean just period?
In the front office.
In the front office, 2011. Who did he draft in the second round?
Okay. So in 2011, John Elway now becomes a guy that's involved in this front office. In 2010, right? 2010, the Broncos took a guy by Tim Tebow in the first round, right?
Right, yeah.
Under the Josh McDaniels era. In 2010, now Tim Tebow comes in here towards the end of the season, right? It's a horrible season. They go 4-12. But towards the end of the season, do you remember what you told me when Tebow played in the end of the season?
In 2010.
In 2010.
Before you got here.
Yeah.
The crowd loved him.
The crowd
they were
loved
chanting
him.
For him
they,
on the way out.
They saw that there was some excitement.
Even when we lost, they
even
loved him.
Even when they lost, they had something to look forward
for,
to
for the context,
in the future.
Yeah, for
hold
context.
On,
no, I want to give people the context of that point. Okay. I'm just telling what happened. He came in, he started late in the year, and he beat the Texans. And then in the last game of the season, he came back and almost beat the Chargers. That's why people were excited. I'm just setting.
People may not know. You were excited too.
It was 9 years ago. It was 9 years ago. But I'm setting the stage. Yeah. And why? What are you?
You told me that you were excited too, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I've never been accused of emotions that are 9 years old.
I'm just asking you a question. I'm not.
I was excited. I was excited. Yes. Of course.
Something. Okay, so now you're excited. Everybody's excited. You know, this is the future. We got a guy that beat the Texans. He tried to come back, and we almost had a chance to beat the Chargers. People were excited, right? Now you fast forward a year later, right? John Elway comes in. John Fox comes in.
Right.
Tim Tebow's not even in the discussion to be the starting quarterback at the start of that season, right?
Okay.
Now you go out there. Start losing games under Kyle Orton.
Don't say you started losing games, Orlando.
Oh, so now you're not a fan.
No. Okay. Oh, so yeah, they started losing
it's
games.
And see, this is the true definition. It's always we when we're doing great. If we ain't doing great, it's you guys.
Hey,
it's you guys. That's what you're gonna say.
Hey, they keep taking our money for the season tickets. So all we and you, all I want. But
okay. So now in 2012. No, 2011. What happened? What happened that year? Kyle Orton went out there, and he wasn't doing good.
Yeah, well,
but
yeah.
Then what did they do? You know what did Bronco Country do?
Well, they benched him.
What did Bronco Country do?
No,
they put up billboards.
Tim Tebow fans put up a billboard.
They put up billboards.
There's a difference between Tebow
they
mania.
They put up billboards. Before Tim Tebow became the starter of the Denver Broncos in 2011, there was billboards.
But see, your Tebow fans were Tebow fans and Broncos fans weren't always necessarily the same thing.
So you weren't a Tebow fan when he was.
I was.
In 2000, you weren't a Tebow fan.
Of course,
when
I'm not
the
saying
best
I wasn't.
Of his life against the Steelers.
You're missing the point.
And we beat them in the divisional round.
There's a contingent of people. Broncos fans like Tebow too, but there was a contingent of people that loved Tim Tebow and would follow him from Florida to Denver to the Jet, whatever. So that billboard, from what I remember, it was people that were firmly behind Tim Tebow himself and not so much the Broncos. It could have been both. I'm not denying that. But
that's besides the point.
But anyway, I don't know what this has to do with Vic Fangio.
Something is not going right. Bronco Country now put up a billboard and said, hey, we need to get this guy out of here. We need to get Kyle Orton on the bench. We need to start Tim Tebow. We literally need to forget everything else. We got this guy on our roster that we took in the first round last year. He beat the Texans. He gave us the opportunity to almost come back against the Chargers. We need this guy to start before he even became the starter. That's what was going on here.
Okay.
Hold on. And then what happened? Tebow becomes the starter.
Right.
So the fans had influence on that, right? The fans literally went at it so hard that now it was like, well, we can't get any worse. Kyle Orton ain't doing anything for us. Let's try it out. Let's see what Tim Tebow could do. And then Tim Tebow now becomes the starter. You go 8-8. You win a playoff game. It's amazing, right? It's so great.
Mm-hmm.
We love this, right? And he had success.
Right.
But guess what? In John Elway's eyes, 8-8, it ain't good enough. So let's go and try to get the highest free agency that's the best free agent that was ever acquired by the Denver Broncos in Peyton Manning.
Right.
So we're not going to sit here, John. This community, this organization, this state is not going to sit here and say, okay, well, 7-9, we're fine with that.
Okay,
we got one game better. John Elway's not going to sit here with the moves and eating the $7 million of dead money with Case Keenum, and now all of a sudden the Broncos don't pay offensive linemen. But all of a sudden, we have the highest paid right tackle in the league?
So let me get this straight.
So hold on. We're not going to sit here and say we're only looking for a one-game increase. No, we're win now.
Okay.
And if you don't win now, we're going to figure it out and get you up out of here and get somebody else in here that we can win with right now.
So let me get this straight. Because Peyton Manning, one of the most unusual free agents, became available in 2012. that lets you know that Vic Fangio could be fired if he goes 7-9.
Because
that's
of,
the correlation
because,
we're making.
Because of Tim Tebow that gave you guys a, gave you
what
all
happens
the excitement,
if Peyton Manning doesn't
all
become
the
a free
excitement
agent.
In 2010. You're looking at one piece. No, you got to look at the whole pie. It's Tim Tebow in 2010. He comes in. You said it was exciting. We got excited. We knew we had somebody. Okay, 2011, Kyle Orton is named the guy. You can say whatever you want, because guess what, John? I've sat with you, had conversations
Nobody
with you,
wanted,
and you said, hey, you know
why?
What? When Tebow played those last two games, I was excited, because he came in, he won a game for us, and then everybody in the fans, even though we were losing.
I'm not denying that.
I remember when we were watching the game this year. We were watching the Chargers game this year, and it came out, guys, that they said there's about 12,000 fans missing. You know what John told me? My co-host John Davis, he said, well, in 2010, you know, even with Tebow there, and we went 4-11 that year. It was we were 4-11 up until that point.
I have a question for you.
At the last game of the season, when Tebow started and when Tebow played, it still was a packed house because everybody believed him, and we were looking at this guy as, hey, he's the guy that's kind of
okay.
The next guy up. Come on, John.
I have a question for you. By
it's
the
all
way,
about winning,
you
especially
love-
here.
Okay, so let me tell you this. Let's say Tim Tebow comes in 2011 and he only wins three games. Does John Elway fire John Fox?
I don't want to play the hypothetical.
So would he have
to you
fired
about
John
what
Fox?
Happened in the past, and we're talking about now.
Yeah, we're
not talking
about
if Tim Tebow did. That's not the case.
Somehow you've decided Tim Tebow and Peyton Manning has got some sort of thing on Vic Fangio's job.
What do you mean? I'm saying the whole picture, like I said, in 2010. I let me break it down a little bit slower for you. In 2010.
You've gone over that year. That year, it's almost a decade old, and we're talking about right now.
In 2010, you put Tim Tebow in, you got excited. In 2011, Tim Tebow was not the starter, right? And then Kyle Orton was the starter. Then Broncos country put up billboards for Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow fans.
Tim Tebow. Okay, whatever you say. Broncos country.
Tebow fan. Tebow
whatever
fan,
you
yeah.
say. They put up billboards for Tim Tebow. Now Tim Tebow becomes the starting quarterback. They force that hand. They force that role. Because and you don't think that they're going to force that role if the Broncos now have another losing season? You're crazy if you don't think
did
that.
Did we get a billboard for Vance Joseph?
There was people outside of his house. I know that. There was people outside of his community.
That's bad if that happened. But I don't want to go into that.
Yeah.
So Vic Fangio goes 7-9. He gets fired.
When now?
How can John Elway hire somebody after he fires a guy who improved the team by one game? Who would come here to coach?
Oh, man. It doesn't matter who would come here to coach. How could John Elway fire a guy like John Fox that won 4 AFC West championships? His worst record was 8-8. He goes 8-8, 13-3, 13-3, 12-4, 4 AFC West championships, 1 Super Bowl appearance. At least all 4 years, he's in at least the second round of the playoffs, but we got rid of him. And you don't think that you have a guy now could be on the chopping block for not going at least 800? Where we already had for the first
John
time
Fox,
in years back-to-back losing
John
seasons.
John Fox had hit a
now
ceiling.
We're gonna have an organization that could possibly have 3 losing seasons.
So why do you
that
think
that doesn't happen around here? So there will be change because that doesn't happen around here, especially now when you're paying all these guys in free agency and you're making it the perception is win right now. It's not we're just trying to get a little bit better.
So, okay, so you say he has to go 8-8.
Yeah.
Does 8-8 get you in the playoffs?
I've been on a part of the team that got us in the playoffs. I don't know what 8-8 gets you. I don't know what 8-8 gets you.
7-9's gotten
seven
teams
and
into the playoffs.
7-9's not a winning record. 7-9's not 500.
What if it gets them into the
eight
playoffs?
8-8 could get you in the playoffs. 7-9 could get you in the playoffs. We're talking about winning records.
Okay, so
the Broncos want winning records.
Cannot
afford
not a winning
to have.
Record.
Okay, it's a 500 record. Now I know that. Are you mad?
No,
must be mad.
No,
because 8-8's not a. You must be mad.
I want to know.
Now.
I want to know. Well, it's not a. Okay, fact
Anyways,
or fiction. Fact
8
or fiction.
8-8, a 500 record, it's better. It's better for Broncos country. It's better for the community. It's better for the state.
Community.
Now,
the
if
state,
we go
is it gonna bring
8
money
and 8, it's, at least we're saying, hey, we were 500. At least we did not go back to having another losing season.
So it's the optics. It's the optics. Is that what you say? Is that what you like? So the It's more about the we had a 500 record.
Why are you mad?
I'm not mad. I'm literally asking.
It's not a winning season.
Come on, not a winning season. Is 8-8 a winning season?
That sounds sensitive to me, man. You know exactly what I meant. You know what I'm talking about as far as the Broncos having a losing record or at least having a 500 record. You know what I was talking about. Don't be sensitive, baby.
Look, I know is I had to spend 10 minutes of you reminiscing over your Tim Tebow years.
now you're just attacking me. Come on, man.
Okay,
I feel like this is like I'm Emmanuel and you're D-Mac right now, man.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
No. When Tim Tebow came in, did you guys honestly think you were going to win? Just a question. This is not related to what we're talking about.
What was the first game that he started?
He came in off the bench home against San Diego. He almost brought you guys back. And then at Miami, you guys were getting like whooped the whole game. And then magic, you went to overtime.
Yeah.
What did you guys think? Because then you got stomped by Detroit the next week. But
Tebow plays with a lot of emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So for me that year, it was kind of like, hey, you know what? We got a quarterback that I've never been around that plays with this much passion and emotion. And, you know, I just, for some reason, I believe that, hey, you know what? We're one play away. You know, if we're able to have one successful play, we're right in the game. And, you know, fortunately enough, we were able to win that game in Miami. And for us, I mean, for me at least, I thought that we could win any game after that. Because, I mean, it's always, you have that turning point. You literally, every year or every organization will have somewhat of a turning point where it's a game that you're down and you battle back for. And, I mean, for us with Tim Tebow that year, that was that Miami game where now you know, hey, we don't have to give up. You know, we're always in it. I mean, yeah, we got smashed by Detroit the week after.
But that's when you switched the offense.
Yeah, that's when we started to switch. And, I mean, even with Peyton, I mean, for us with Peyton that year, it was the game against the Chargers, that night game that we played, and we were down 24-0. That was like the turning point when the light switch went off, and it was like, yeah, you know what? We can win every game that we play in.
Wow. Yeah, it was a crazy season. I don't think anybody thought it would look the way it did with Tebow. Yeah. But anyways, there is a new Denver Bronco, and he can be used in multiple spots. What is the best spot for him? That's next.